Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Jennifer Gartenberg, how you doing?
Hi, great to see you. Thanks for having me.
We love when you come on, Jennifer.
I love being here.
You always have a plan of what you want to talk about. And all month long, not only today live, but the next couple weeks, we're going to drop some pods on you about things to do before the end of the year. So just broadly speaking, now is a good time to start reassessing that stuff, right? Looking at what you've done for the year.
Yes, absolutely. Things get very hectic around the holidays. And some of these things we're going to talk about today and throughout the rest of November take some time to process, whether it's opening new accounts or making contributions. And a lot of people are traveling out of the office at the end of the year. So don't wait until mid-December to do some of the things we're going to talk about.
Yeah, December 31st is not a good time to go to HR and saying, how do I max out my 401k?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. So now is a good time before Thanksgiving and things get busy with the holidays.
I know we're going to talk about charitable stuff. I just do want to mention this off the top, and we will in one of the pods. Just a reminder, RMDs.
Yes.
Maybe it's a lot of people's first time of year. We're going to get to the charitable stuff, but just broadly speaking, everyone look at your RMD. You do not want this tax penalty.
No, if you don't take your required distribution from your IRA, and you have to start taking a required distribution at age 73, then you're subject to a 25% penalty.
No good.
No good. So that deadline is December 31st. Make sure you do it beforehand, and you can even withhold taxes directly from the distribution so you don't get a big tax bill in April. Talk to your advisor, call Mesereau, but don't miss the deadline.
And you're going to think I'm a broken record, listeners, but I've known people that forgot to do it the first year. There's a little, and that's no good. Anyways, we'll move on. All right. Giving to charity. I think a lot of us have this in our brain that the money you give to charity is tax deductible and you're going to be able to write it all off on your taxes. Well, years ago when the standard deduction was way lower, that seemed to be something that we did, right? If you gave $500, you're going to write it off your taxes. You keep your little stub, whatever it is. The standard deduction about 5 years ago now went up. That's kind of changed the calculus, hasn't it?
Yes, it used to be. Far more people itemize their deductions, which mean they got a tax deduction for charitable contributions. Now, far more people are using the standard deduction than ever before, which makes it much less likely that you are getting a tax deduction for your contributions.
And just to kind of sum up what that means, in case people don't understand, with the standard deduction being double what it was, essentially, your tax deductions kind of fit under the umbrella. You didn't break the threshold to be able to itemize those things, right?
Right. So at a high level, you can deduct the greater of the standard deduction, which is $27,700 if you're married filing jointly, or your itemized tax deductions. The things that go into the itemized tax deductions besides charitable contributions, the big items would be interest on a mortgage if you have a mortgage, and then up to $10,000 of state and local taxes. So in Illinois, that would be your property taxes, your Illinois state income tax, your mortgage interest, and your charitable contributions. If those exceed $27,700, you would use that number and get credit, so to speak, for the charitable contribution. But for most people, they don't, and they're less than that, in which case you don't get a direct tax benefit for a charitable contribution.
Not a direct one, but what about indirect ones, I guess? Is that the way we're saying that, or no?
You don't get a dollar-for-dollar tax benefit, but there are ways to get that benefit and be more strategic if being charitable is important to you.
Okay, we got about a minute before we take our first... Actually, tell you what, why don't we take the break now, just about 30 seconds early, and we'll cover all of that in the next segment, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
1-877-MESIROW, M-E-S-I-R-O-W. It's a Mesereau Monday. Jennifer Gartenberg, we're talking about good things given back at the holiday season, aren't we?
Yes.
It's not as easy. Well, it's easy to give. Maybe it's not as easy to get the tax benefit that we talked about moments ago about that was easier before. We can make qualified distributions from our IRA.
Some of us can.
Okay.
You and I cannot.
Okay.
You have to be over 70 and a half.
Ah.
To make distributions directly to charity from your IRA.
Well, that's a lot of our listeners right now.
Yes.
So over 70 and a half, you were talking about our IRA, and you can donate from there.
Yes, exactly. And it's great for people, going back to the standard deduction versus itemized discussion, it's great for people that use the standard deduction because let's say you want to donate an extra $5,000 to charity. If it comes directly from your IRA, you will not pay income tax on that like you normally would when money comes out of that account, and it will go directly to the charity and satisfy your required distribution. So if you file jointly and you can use the $27,000 standard deduction and you make a $5,000 donation, you're really getting $32,000 in a way of tax benefit.
So this is money that is going to a charity instead of an RMD to myself?
Exactly.
So these would be on distributions?
These would be on distributions. So, and the money has to go to the charity directly. You can't take the money out of the IRA, put it in your bank account, and then you send a personal check to the charity.
Okay.
And it has to be a 501c3 qualified charity.
But if someone is looking at their income sources and they're having a good year, whatever the case is, they have to make an RMD and they want to take a little of that burden off, $5,000. And is that, what's the limit you said for that?
Oh, it's up to $100,000.
Oh, wow. Yep. So you could do a lot if you wanted.
I have clients at Mesereau who might send 10 different $300 checks out of their IRA each year to the charities that are important to them. There's a lot of flexibility with this.
Oh, so it doesn't have to just be one. You can spread the wealth.
No, it can be as many as you would like.
Okay, that could be huge for people. And you're doing good things for people. It's not only about the taxes, people.
Exactly.
You're doing great stuff.
Exactly.
What is a donor-advised fund?
So they have become super popular in the last few years. They are a way to give to charity in a really tax-efficient, cost-effective way.
Okay.
It's a separate account that you would open. You can open it with whoever your financial advisor is or on your own online.
At a brokerage or
something. At a brokerage. You then can fund that account with either stock or cash. And you can invest it however you would like. You can keep it invested in whatever stocks you can contribute. You can sell it, invest it however you want. It's best if you put a lump sum in.
Mm-hmm.
You then get a tax deduction for the amount you put into the donor advised fund before you give any of it to charity. Once it's in the fund, you decide how much you want to give to each charity and when. So you might make a lump sum of $25,000 into the account, and you can choose if you want to give any or all of it away that year or in the future, but you get a $25,000 deduction that year. It's a great way to front load those contributions, and then maybe you give $5,000 away a year for the next 5 years while the funds continue to grow tax-free in this separate account.
Okay, so it's like a lot of ways we fund IRAs or things. It grows, an HSA, you put money in, but this money eventually will end up at a 501c3.
At a charity, yep.
And the tax donation doesn't come out on the distribution of that to the charity. It comes out on the lump sum I put into this fund.
Exactly. And it's really great if you have a year where you have especially high income. Maybe you sold a business, maybe you work on commission, and it was a really exceptional year. If you know you're in a higher tax bracket than you normally are or that you will be next year, it's best to make a lump sum contribution then to lower your taxable income and get out of that higher tax rate.
We were talking about big numbers, but what if it's 1,000 or 2,000? Can that be a starting point for this?
That can. You have to check with each donor advised fund provider and see what their minimum is.
Okay.
But they're really great because the fees are very, very low. They're very flexible, and it is a way that more and more money is being given to charity each year through them.
And then the fund grows, just like anything else.
Exactly. Or it can go down in value if it was last year. It depends on how it's invested. But it can be invested in stocks, bonds, cash, mutual funds, very flexible.
And you don't have to know which charity you're giving it to yet.
No.
You could just say, 25 grand, I'm going to do it this year, and it's going to grow for a little bit, and then in 10 years, I'm going to distribute it all around.
And you can do $100 here, $1,000 there. There's a lot of flexibility.
Okay. What about if you pass away? Who does the beneficiary go to in that regard?
So it's another reason they're great. When you set up a donor advised fund, or DAF as many people call them, you can either say upon your passing, you want the money distributed in certain proportions to specific charities. Maybe you have a favorite charity or two, or you can name a successor of the fund, mm-hmm. and maybe it's a child or a spouse or a friend, and they can carry on your legacy and continue to donate money in the ways that they think would be most reflective of your values.
Can you let it all sit there, or is there, do a lot of the funds want you to give out money each year, like to at least depreciate some of it? How does that work?
Generally, it's recommended you give away 5% of the fund. Again, though, it depends on who you're using for the donor advised fund, what their exact rules are, but generally 5% is the way to go.
All right, that's a donor advised fund. Can I give stock to my favorite 501c3?
You can, and that's a great thing to do. If you don't want to deal with opening a donor advised fund, if you're not over 70 and a half and it doesn't make sense to donate something from an IRA, it is great to donate stock directly to a charity. Most charities have stock accounts established. They're used to accepting stock donations. So call them, email them, ask them for the instructions, email your broker, and you can transfer shares. That's great. Let's say you own Apple and you have a very large unrealized gain mm-hmm. and you want to make a $1,000 donation to a charity. You can transfer the equivalent number of shares of Apple. The charity gets that full $1,000. You get the tax benefit for the $1,000, assuming you itemize, mm-hmm. but you never have to pay tax on that unrealized gain. You don't pay capital gains. So it's really great. You get the same benefit. The charity gets the same benefit, but you don't incur that tax. It also helps depending on what your financial goals are. It doesn't disrupt your cash or liquidity needs. If you have extra money in a brokerage account, if you're budgeting for other things, it's a great, great way to give as well.
Yeah, it's like everybody wins. Like you only put $500 in it and now it's worth $1,000. The charity gets to benefit that. You're not going to have to pay the tax on the gain and you're not going into your pocket for $1,000 to make a donation.
Right. Also, if you have certain positions that have become very large because they've appreciated so much over time, it's a way to diversify and reallocate and reduce some of those really overvalued companies or what have you. If you are certain, if certain positions have become too big, it's a great way to trim them.
Oh, so it's like a way not to take the gain.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
You don't want to, because you don't want
right.
to sell it.
You
but
can reduce your exposure to those sectors. Yeah.
I didn't think about
while
that.
While giving back. So it's a win-win.
Right, if you're if you think it's overvalued,
exactly,
but you don't want to pay, and you made a bunch on it, and you're like, oh, you know what would be better for this? A charity,
right?
If I'm going to give money anyways, why not just give the stock?
Exactly, but make sure it's the stock that generally has the largest unrealized gain because
that has the
biggest benefit.
Right, you got to select your lot. Is
exactly,
what I've learned.
If
this is all above people's heads, which a little bit for me as well, Mesereau's always there to help. Jennifer's one of the fine folks over there. 1-877-Mesereau, Mesereau.com. And Jennifer, I'm excited to have you on the podcast the next 3 weeks.
Yes, thanks so much, John. It's great to be here.